All right, all right, all right. Morning, Christ Church. How are you? Praise the Lord for you. Hey, Debbie and I have been retired now just about a year and a half. And it took a little getting used to. You have to learn to where your new niche is going to be. You're always going to serve the Lord because he's Lord, right? Amen? So you're going to be serving the Lord. You know that. But then you have to figure out how to take up the rest of the time of your days. And believe me, it gets taken up. But one of the beauties of it is you have time to just ponder. And you have time to wonder. So I've wondered about a few things. You ever wonder why people spend $2 on a bottle of Evian water, but when you spell Evian backward, it spells naive? Think about it. See, when you were working, you didn't have time to think of that. If a pig loses his voice, is he disgruntled? Ever wonder why croutons come in airtight, unsealable packages? Isn't it just dry bread to begin with? You ever wondered if FedEx and UPS merged, would they be called Fed Up? If you ate pasta and antipasta, would you still be hungry? I was pondering that the other night when I was hungry. You ever wonder why dogs get mad when you blow in their face, but they'll stick their heads out the window when you're riding 60 miles an hour down the road and they seem to love it? Do you ever wonder why our government has Tomahawk cruise missiles, Apache helicopters, and the raid that killed Osama bin Laden was called Geronimo, but they have a problem calling them the Washington Redskins? My favorite is, do you ever wonder why there's an expiration date on a package of Oreo cookies? There's not a package of Oreo cookies that made it the last 2 days at our house. But do you ever wonder why the Gospel of John was written? Do you ever wonder why Tim and Jordan have so beautifully taken us through the Gospel of John for over a year? It's because they love you. And they want you to be more like Jesus. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't that be a good thing if everyone took all these truths about Jesus and incorporate them in their lives? We would actually become more like Jesus. In every avenue of your life, in every avenue of your walk, in every way you dealt with people, you would be more like Jesus. Now, people write books for many reasons. They write to set a historical narrative. They'll write to tell a beautiful story or a biography about someone. Some people like to write because they think they're going to become famous and make a lot of money. It seems like every Fox News commentator has a book out now. Then they want prestige and fame. John wrote this book, clearly our text is going to teach us this morning, for two simple reasons. That you'd be more like Jesus. Look at John 20, 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. That's interesting. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So the twofold purpose of the book of John, that his followers would believe the truths about him. That Jesus' followers, those who were there, those who were in Jerusalem, those who had just seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ in John 20, that they would ever be remembering that Jesus is alive and that he was the Messiah, the promised one of God, and that he was literally the Son of God who left the glories of heaven to come to earth so that they could redeem us from our sins. And then the second part of that is that they would believe those truths, and in the belief of those truths, they would find life in him that was truly life. So the first question we have, and it's just a simple question because it's a simple outline, do I believe the truth about Jesus? When he said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that, Christ Church? Yes. I'm telling you, if we really believe it, we'll change the world. If we really internalize those beliefs and live every day as if that is an absolute truth of Almighty God, your life will never be the same. It can't be the same because it's going to be driven by the purpose of God. It's going to be driven by the Spirit of God. And you will just find an internal joy about doing things that are totally different than the way we used to do things. Consider these truths are evidential truths, especially in John 20, because it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they appeal to reason. You didn't have to convince Mary, and you didn't have to convince the followers of Jesus that he was alive. They saw him. He's alive. And if you look at the confession of the writer of John, he says he could have written volumes. In John 20, 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to find out some more of those things. I've read all about what Jesus had done in the New Testament and in the Scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels, and it blows me away that our Lord and Savior has done. But he says there's so much that's not been recorded. Look at John 21, 24, and 25. This is the disciple who testified to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose not even the whole world would have not have room for the books that would be written. The challenge to us today is, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? I think we choose to do that. And it's not just a mental assent that we believe a fact. It's that we believe a fact that will absolutely change your life. I believe the truth about his works. I believe the truth that he performed miracles and he did many signs and wonders. I believe that when Jesus taught, because the scripture says so, that people were cut to their hearts. They've never heard teachings like this, because he was God in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was taking a corrupted Judaized system, and he was teaching from the heart of God as the Son of God who came to teach the world how to have life and have it to the full. And he did many other signs. 7 miracles were recorded in John, 40 in the Gospels. So I believe his works. I still believe in miracles. The modern-day seminaries, they teach their students that miracles were impossible. The modern-day believer, modern-day church, doesn't believe in the miracles and signs and wonders, and that these words are truth, and these words are from God. And they're designed to help a sinful creature become new in Jesus Christ and live a life of purpose. The truth of his walk, Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." I love knowing that every temptation that I face in this world, and there are myriad of them, I know that Jesus faced those same temptations. And I know and believe with all my heart, because the scripture says so, because that he did those without sin. Because if he had sin, he would not be God. But he's God because he proved it through his words and his teaching and his walk. And then he was truth of his words. John 8:31 says, "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Truth from God, designed to set you free. What's he setting us free from? He's setting us free from sin that keeps us from having an intimate personal relationship with God. He sets us free from the world system. He sets us free from Hollywood. He sets us free from materialism. He sets us free from greed. He sets us free from debauchery and sin and living like there is no God. Jesus sets us free by his beautiful words. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." The truth of God's words designed to set your soul free. The truth of God's word is what has set me apart from the old Dennis that lived. Before Dennis was buried into Christ in Christian immersion to rise to walk in what? Newness of life. Newness of life. Different. The old man dead, the new man has risen. John 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And that's how God sanctifies us. Sanctify is just being set apart for God's purposes. Do you want, and there's a cool fact that I find right in the middle of the Bible. Scholars, somebody researched this and said that Psalm 118:8 is the very middle verse of Scripture. And do you think God might hide a little nugget in there for us, for true believers? Do you think he'd hide a gem right there? Well, Psalm 118:8 says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Isn't that cool? That's how we're set free. We put our trust in Almighty God so that we can get away from man's image of life and live like God would have us. It's what Solomon, in all his studies in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he started off saying, everything's futile. Everything is futile under the sun. He says it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And he gets to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, and he says the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. The whole duty of anyone who has ever lived is to hear the words of God, see the work of Jesus Christ, to be immersed in Almighty God and his will, purpose, and ways, so they would know how they should live in this life, the one free gift of life that we've been given in birth. You're no accident that you came into this world. You have been born in the image of God. You're born for the glory of God. You're born to carry out his kingdom purpose here on earth so that others would come to know Jesus. So, first question, do you believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Second question is, have I experienced true life in him? These are evangelistic truths. These are truths that are designed to share. They're an appeal to true faith. They're good news that we can't help but sharing. In John 20, 31, it says, but these are written, you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And the whole context of that is the truth about Messiah. And people had to get that. He either is the Messiah or he isn't. If you believe he's the Messiah, your life should never be the same. Because Jesus is alive. That's all what John 20 is telling us. Jesus is God. He truly was Emmanuel, God with us. And believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, changes everything. It did for Mary. She knew Jesus was dead. But she's still compelled after his death to run early in the morning to try somehow, in some way, some crazy way, to anoint the body even further, even though there was a huge stone and Roman guards at the tomb. You know, Mary ran. Thomas couldn't wait to hear. He wasn't in the room when he first appeared to the disciples. And Jesus miraculously appeared in the room, and Thomas wanted to touch his scars and see Jesus for himself. The disciples, every one of them were going to give their life after serving the Lord. But they were euphoric because they knew Jesus was resurrected from the grave and that he is alive. Now, I know today is Cinco de Mayo, and people get a lot of fun out of some Mexican war that we celebrate. Most times just people are just partying to celebrate. I'm here to sell, and we're going to have tacos in the back. Every one of us, don't put your money in a restaurant this morning. Come help kids go to camp, amen? Eat a taco, then go to lunch, amen? Had to get that plug in. Jordan's been plugging that. You know what makes me cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Tomb is empty. Christ is risen. That's got to change your life. That's why we're here today. It brings meaning to life. It brings a meaning to an existence that without him seemed to be feeling that life had no meaning. Seemed to be feeling that life was just an endless getting up and going to work. coming home and taking care of chores, coming home and raising kids over and over and over again. Without Christ, it seemed to not have meaning. Didn't have meaning because you have a soul. It has meaning now because the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And that term that they use is a term to spread liquid over. That's why in the Old Testament they anointed those prophets, priests, and kings with oil. And Jesus is the anointed one from God. He is the Christ, that in the Greek, the anointed one. He was set apart by God to be the anointed one, to be the Lamb of God that would take away Dennis's sin, the Lamb of God that would take away your sin, so that you could rise with an indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit bubbling up as living water inside you to live the life, the new life that God would have you to live. Is Jesus your prophet? Are you heeding his words as if they contained life? Or do you just read it occasionally? Is he your high priest? Do you allow him to make intercession for you daily? Do you realize your body now is the true temple of the Lord? Do you realize that everything that you do needs to be run through the filter of eternity, not humanity? Is he your king? Is he King of kings and Lord of lords? Philippians 2, 9, 11 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Do you know Jesus as the pure and perfect Son of God? His resurrection proved it to me. And true life becomes the climax of everything because it's life in his name. See, convinced disciples, these at the tomb after the resurrection, they were convinced Jesus was alive. And it would be those convinced disciples that would convince others to become disciples. And that's why Jesus is Lord. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We haven't seen a resurrected Jesus. If you have, we need to talk. We know Jesus is alive because we lay our life down for him. We pick up our cross daily and we follow him. We understand that this life is temporary. It's not our natural home. Our natural home is to be with God, but he's left us here for a purpose and a reason. He left us here to be Christ Church here in Greenville. He left us here to help children around the world. He's left us here to be his ambassadors here on earth. That's why we're here. That's why we move and live and have our being. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you would have life and have it to the full. Now, non-abundant life is what we see all around us today. We see debauchery. We see evil, cruelty, broken homes and marriages. We see people strangled in debt because of materialism. We see sexual lifestyles just abounding and going wild, and everything goes. Why is that happening? Well, Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, the devil prowls around looking for people to devour. See, you're either part of the hunted or you're a hunter. Without God's indwelling presence in your life, the devil's going to hunt you down. He's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy the knowledge and the works and the words of Jesus and the perfect example that he's given. He's taking that from you. And the less you're involved in kingdom things, the more you're involved in worldly things, he's stealing, and that's why your soul is restless. That's why your soul cannot be filled. And that happens to the religious as well as the non-religious. Abundant life is what we need from Jesus. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them, and this is where it kind of looks like Jesus. That's the goal of our life, to be more like him. Command them to do good and be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, you will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. I know you believe Jesus is the Messiah. I know you believe Jesus is the Son of God. But have those beliefs transformed the way you live? I just want to give us a little silent pop-up quiz as we end this message. Are you at peace with God and others? Are you focused on the eternal? Are you content with what you have? Do you serve God in the church? And does it fill your soul? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are you devoted to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the Lord's table and prayer? Do you live as if your citizenship is in heaven and not here on earth? Are you growing in holiness? Is your life becoming more and more set apart to God? And as it is, do you start to feel some kickback from friends and family and from the world? Do you sense God's favor in your life? When bad things happen to you, and they will in a cursed and fallen world, do you sense a peace that passes understanding and the trust that God is working all things for your good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose? Do you know that in Jesus nothing happens to you? It happens for you to help you become more like Jesus? And do you know how much he loves you? Ever wonder why people don't have abundance in their lives? They've missed the truth that Jesus is Messiah and that he's the Son of God. If you don't believe that and live it and it hasn't changed your life, why? Why? This world's coming to an end. Don't you want divine abundance in your life? And see, just going to church ain't going to solve that, because the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they knew truth. They just didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. Romans 1:8 will close. It closes with a warning. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. That's our age. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There is no excuse after all the recorded scripture has been given to us for men not to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. We know the truth, and the truth is designed to set us free. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray every heart in here, including mine, will take an introspective look deep into the crevice of their soul and see, do we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That truth should elevate our living to the standard of Jesus and the standard of Scripture. So I pray, Lord, if there's decisions to be made, to come to Jesus and be made whole in confession and baptism, that they'll come this morning. If some just need prayer, knowing that they believe in Jesus, but it hasn't affected their living, I pray they'll come, and there'll be people down front to pray with them. So, Lord, this is our time. to come and acknowledge you truly are the Son of God.